The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright, the power to create a happier, healthier life, drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Tonight we are talking about all those confounded thoughts called emotions. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when they creep up on me, I wish I was more of a robot so I wouldn't have to deal with them. But the truth is, we are human and we're supposed to feel them, and they're actually necessary for our growth. The more that we are understanding the importance that emotions play in our life, the more we can look back and say to ourselves, wow, I didn't stay in that emotion for that long. Or, thank goodness it came up. It prevented me from doing something really ridiculous. So today we are focusing on the wonderful and powerful book called Emotional Options, written by the original breakout coach, Mandy Evans. It's going to be fun, and I know you're going to appreciate being reminded to pay attention to what pops up emotionally in your life. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. We'll be right back. And that's amore. Join us on our Law of Attraction Love Boat for 3 nights of romantic fun. Want to learn how to communicate to attract love into your life? Or how about to enhance an existing relationship and even bring it up to the next level? We are in partnership with Law of Attraction Singles, the best dating site on the web, and relationship expert Larry Michael. And we want you to come and join the fun. We're going to be dancing, singing, laughing in wonderful onboard activities and workshops designed to align you with romance. It's October 22nd through 25th, going out of Long Beach, California. Sign up today at loaradionetwork.com/love-boat. Or go to loaradionetwork.com and get ready for some amore. Okay, I am back. You are listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Hey, don't forget to check out our magazine, The Science Behind the Law of Attraction. You can still read the latest version for free by going to loaradionetwork.com/magazine. We've got a great article there on wealth building by Wealth Consciousness University. And there's also a great one about not seeing the signs that the universe is sending to you. And it's written by Andrea Shulman. It is really terrific and insightful. And you know what? This entire magazine is what you would say would be the perfect nighttime reading right before you fall asleep, because it's just going to fill you with all of these wonderful possibilities. And as you relax, it's just going to make the night sleep even more relaxing. And by the way, did you get my hypnosis money activation MP3 yet? You know, it really works. And, you know, I even use it myself. It completely shifts you into the flow. it's only $9.99. And I got to tell you, it's the best seller. You can find it at lawofattractiontools.com. And, you know, I also want to remind people that I'm available for Skype hypnosis. No matter where you are in the world, we can release those issues that are holding you back. And it usually only takes one session. I think you're going to be amazed, and it's so much fun. If you want a hypnosis session through Skype, no matter where you are in the world, just send an email to staff@loaradionetwork.com and schedule a session. I would be so honored to work with you in releasing those blocks permanently. Now, last night, I was watching one of my favorite TV reality shows. It's called Hillbilly Blood. Have you seen it? It's so wonderful. It's about two guys, Eugene and Spencer, who live in the Appalachian Mountains. They may be hillbillies, but they are the two most brilliant men who know how to survive off of the land. They can create anything they need without having any money. You know, there's so much that we can learn from them. And when they do need money, well, they simply barter for parts or services in order to get what they need to create what they need. Last night, they were asked to build a countertop for a store owner, and in trade, Eugene and Spencer could put their handmade knives into the very center of it to attract more buyers. The only problem was, well, they didn't have the wood, and nor did they have the money to purchase the wood. Good wood is actually scarce because of a bug infestation years and years ago. So that didn't stop them. So they went to a person that had wood on an old barn that wasn't in use, and they asked if they could have some. Well, the owner of the barn said, yes, sure, for a price. And then the boy said, well, we're short on cash. How about a trade? And the owner of the barn said, okay, how about you get me a bear dog? A bear dog. I thought to myself, what the heck is a bear dog? But they didn't bother to explain it. But the boy said, yes, sure, we know where we could get you a bear dog. So they drove off, and they went to someone who had the bear dogs, which was just a puppy, and the cutest little, it looked like a beagle to me. And, of course, the owner of the dog wanted money. But they said, we're a little short of cash. Would you like to do a trade? And the guy said, yeah, if you could get me some groundhog oil, because his woman had consumption or whooping cough. And the groundhog oil is a natural remedy for a whooping cough. And they said, okay, we'll get you a groundhog. So now Eugene and Spencer were trading their labor to build a counter to display their knives. Then they're trading the wood for a bear dog, and then they had to capture a groundhog to take to someone who knew how to make groundhog oil. And all of this had to be done within 1.5 days. So Eugene and Spencer drove to where they could find groundhogs, and they looked for the holes in the ground, and then they started to build some really ingenious traps out of wood and fruit. Really amazing. But to their dismay, the next day they returned to notice that the groundhogs, who are very smart, ate the fruit and did not trigger the traps. So they tried to smoke the groundhogs out of the ground, which they discovered, well, the groundhogs weren't in the holes, so they couldn't smoke them out. And knowing they were almost out of time, they just threw up their hands and said, well, we're going to make a whole bunch of people mad because we can't catch the groundhog, we can't get the bear dog, and we can't build the counter because we can't get the wood. And they said, well, at least we tried. So they went back to the truck, and they drove off, when all of a sudden, they spotted a dead groundhog on the road. You know, roadkill. So they stopped and they were amazed because they drove down the stretch not more than 30 minutes prior. And it wasn't there. It was a fresh roadkill. So the universe just provided what they needed to fulfill the bartering for everything. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because they had to work hard to do the trade. And finally, after a while of no success, they just surrendered. And even though they knew they were going to make quite a few mountain men upset with them, there was nothing they could do. They gave it their best shot and they just let go. They just surrendered. And then it appeared on the road in a flash going, oh my gosh. This is the perfect example of how letting go and surrendering and being okay with it no matter what the outcome is. Well, this is how you let the universe just take over, because you are stepping out of the way and letting the universe provide for you. Eugene and Spencer are two of the most brilliant men in building things that they need from parts in junkyards. And they are so creative engineering-wise to know how to put like two tanks together to create a wood-burning stove or heater or a meat smoker or a boat or a houseboat using a trailer and a barbecue as a paddleboard. I get so excited when a new problem arises and they come up with some of the most ingenious things to resolve it. There's nothing they can't do. And they can do it without money. Humans are such creative animals. The only thing that stops a human from creating from their inner genius is emotion. Fear, worthiness, and even unforgiveness. When you free yourself up from all the emotional trauma and quit living in the past, then you have so much space in that head of yours to create. And it's amazing what you can do. That's why tonight's show is so important for you to listen to. So let me ask, how was your week? How are you feeling? What emotions are you feeling right now? Are you feeling overwhelmed or frustrated, or are you scared? Are you fearful financially? Where are you on that emotional guidance scale? From anger all the way up to joy, where do you stand? And let that bring you understanding of what you've got to release in order to get to that place where you can create anything, just like Eugene and Spencer, my two heroes. Now let's get on with tonight's show with Mandy Evans. Mandy is the originator of Breakout Coaching, teaching people from all walks of life, including some of the most successful coaches and writers in the field of human consciousness. Her books, Emotional Option and Traveling Free, show you how you can break free from the hidden beliefs that block your success and happiness. Mandy has been in the self-development business for many, many years and has actually been the mentor to Joe Vitale way before he jumped into the law of attraction. Other notable people that have endorsed her as a miracle coach is John Gray from that wonderful book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, and Deepak Chopra, who endorsed her Traveling Free book and workshops. I am so lucky that the Palm Springs Healing Center, my good friend Dr. Buzz to be exact, told me about her. So I'm delighted to bring her on tonight and talk about emotional options. Well, welcome, Mandy, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here with you.
I'm delighted that you're here with me, too, because not only are we going to talk about my favorite a topic, which is emotions, but you're really the first person that I've interviewed who lives right around the corner from me in Palm Springs.
Yes, neighbors.
Yes, I am so excited. As a matter of fact, that's how we met through the Palm Springs Healing Center.
Yes, Robert Edelberg.
Yeah, through Dr. Buzz himself. I just love it. He's one of my most favorite people in the whole world. So I am very delighted to introduce you to my listening audience. And it's such an important topic that I just want to jump right into it. Is that all right with you, Mandy?
Absolutely. Let's go.
All right. Your book, Emotional Options, is a step-by-step guide to break out from the hidden beliefs that block happiness, success, abundance, etc., etc. So my first question is, why are emotions optional? I know that we have assumed that we're not supposed to react to emotions, or that we are only reacting to emotions. So what do you mean about emotions being optional?
What a great question. And it is such a confusing topic that very few people even really like to talk about at all. I think there are two kinds of emotions in our language or responses that we call emotions. And our language really isn't very good for distinguishing them. For example, there's fear that some people keep in place as if it protects them from danger, which it doesn't. It actually makes you more vulnerable if you live in constant chronic fear. But then there's awareness of danger, that heightened sense of awareness and consciousness when you know, this is really, I'm climbing this mountain and it's really slippery. I have to notice every grip, or oh dear, there's someone following me. You know, whatever it is, that is healthy and productive and life-sustaining, but chronic fear is limiting and debilitating. And the same goes for most emotions, like guilt, the awareness of wrongdoing only takes a second. And if you just live with that new consciousness and knowledge and awareness, you can correct your course very quickly. But many people subject themselves purposefully, but not consciously, to just chronic state of guilt in which they feel awful all the time. It not only doesn't work, but it almost always makes them resent who or whatever they feel guilty about. Those are just two examples. So my goal is not to pick a bunch of emotions that are good or positive and a bunch that are bad and negative, but to help people have the freedom to feel however they want to feel, at the same time becoming more and more conscious of how come we feel the way we feel. It's not automatic. Things don't make us feel particular ways. What we believe does.
Yes, and I am taking it by reading your book that we have a choice on how we want to feel. We are actually choosing to feel miserable, and we're actually choosing to feel happy. The choice always resides within us.
Always, with one caveat, it will always jibe with your belief system. You can't really go against your own version of reality because it won't stick. I mean, you can, if you believe you're a terrible, awful person and you should feel bad, you can choose to feel good, but it won't stick. What you need to do is figure out how come you believe you're a terrible, awful person, and, you know, most likely that's not true. If it is, well, maybe we have some things we need to correct.
Yeah.
But that's the exception, not the rule.
Well, tell us what some of the common limiting or self-defeating beliefs that people have.
Well, I think some of the ones that are most common we hear a lot, and then a lot of them we never hear, one I hear all the time is, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be happy. I don't deserve wealth. I don't deserve, you name it, I don't deserve it. And this might be a little controversial for your listeners, but I think our concept of deserving is just a big old bogus issue. I don't know anybody who knows what would that correlation be. You know, who would it hurt if you were wealthy or you were happy, or, you know, or if you felt wonderful all day long? I didn't do anything to deserve this magnificent day that I'm aware of, except get born. And like the magic of the law of attraction, you know, you and I, just that magnet, Dr. Buzz Edelberg, just connected us. We were just going along our business. And so, you know, we've done groundwork to make it work. I wrote a book, and you have this wonderful radio station. But I don't know that it's deserving in terms of, you know, good and bad and worthy and unworthy, the way people hold that. And when people liberate themselves from that and realize that they probably want to be good, worthy, wonderful people, then they can just reach for anything they want.
So let's go into that a little bit deeper. People, growing up in their developmental years, may have misunderstood something somebody said to them about them being worth the major toy that they wanted. Maybe they couldn't afford it. Maybe they didn't feel. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Is there something about in our developmental years we're misunderstanding what people have been saying to us?
Absolutely, Jules. In our developmental years and all through our lives, we do it every day. We misunderstand stuff because there's so much to understand. But so often, for example, parents don't mean to, but most parents hate to say no to their children. So when they have to say no, they get mad.
Yeah.
They say, you don't deserve it. You know, you haven't done this and you haven't done that, and I do everything and you don't do anything and you don't deserve it. And kids believe it. And
right.
Then they set out their whole life wondering, well, what would I have to do to deserve just my place on the planet? Some people, so many people are tortured by really, truly believing they don't even deserve to be on this planet.
So that in itself would be a self-defeating belief, because we, in that respect, from what we've learned and what we understood, we are not worthy.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then we'll make choices that fit with that belief.
Got it.
Unfortunately. Okay. And we'll probably choose people in life who agree with that,
treat us
that way. And that seems more and more real. It's so insidious.
Absolutely. Tell us some more of the self-defeating beliefs that we may not even be aware of.
Oh, one of my favorites that very few people really look at is that kind of old saying, when you feel bad enough, you'll do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of hidden belief with that one is that it's bad to feel good now, or, you know, if I feel really bad, it'll be good motivation. Unfortunately, it's really not good motivation at all. And if you do feel bad enough to do something, if you really feel miserable, you probably do something very different from what you would choose if you were happy. That's when very few people kind of notice that, oh, I go through life feeling bad on purpose because I think it's good motivation. Or the flip side, where if I didn't feel bad, I wouldn't do anything.
Yeah. And then there's people that I know quite a few that actually delay themselves being happy.
Yes. I think probably the majority of people on this planet are waiting to be happy.
Isn't that unreal? Okay, but it's so true. But explain that because I think that's going to hit home for a lot of our listeners.
Oh, I hope so. I'm so excited to be talking about this with people who are interested. You know, it's such a perfect match. There are people who, well, a lot of us, including me probably sometimes, we're kind of afraid to get caught being happy with the wrong thing. I mean, so much of life is promotional about, you know, what's in and what's acceptable and what's not. And, you know, even in the realm of spirituality, we can get very rigid about, you know, what's cool and what's spiritually cool and what's not. So people, you know, they really worry about, you know, like if they're a really spiritual person and they're happy eating a cheeseburger, there's something wrong.
Darn,
If you're going to eat it, whether it's good for you or not, you might as well be happy.
Absolutely.
There's a wonderful self-help writer and coach, Michael Neal. I don't know if you know him, but he says in his work, he's seen that happiness leads to success a lot more often than success leads to happiness. And yet, as you said, people put it off. They think it'll end their motivation. They think they'll just lie around like slugs if they're happy. And yet, if you look at your own life, anyone who's listening to us, you've probably made the most creative choices and taken the most productive risks, not just foolish, stupid ones that end in disaster, when you were happy in any of the versions of it. There's so many, like peace and excitement and bliss and rapture and curiosity and intense interest and enthusiasm. I mean, it has a million faces. So I just urge you all, don't worry, be happy. It won't hurt you.
And what I think you mean by that is that if you're working towards a goal, you shouldn't be happy when you reach the goal. You need to be happy every step of the way to get to the goal.
It sure helps.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
So, in other words, you need to love what you're doing right now, regardless.
I think that's such an excellent point because so many people, if they want more than we have now, they think it's a good idea to hate what's happening and feel bad about what's happening. But what you just said, if you can love this moment, you can build on that and reach for anything you want. You don't have to
Absolutely.
Stay with it just because you're happy, you know, with something you want to change.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, especially in the law of attraction, they always say, you know, when I reach my first million, then I'll be happy.
Right.
It's like, oh no, you got to be happy right now, or else you're not even going to reach that 1 million. There's no
Right.
way that you're going to get there, or if you do, it's surely not going to make you happy. So.
And so ironic that so far everyone I've explored this with, and it's thousands of people now, I've been doing this forever, everything they want, that first million, a new car, a relationship, the headache to go away, whatever it is they want it in order to be happy. If you explore it far enough, you know, why do you want a million? So I can have anything I want. Why do you want anything you want? So I can feel free. Why do you want to feel free? So I can be happy. I mean, that's just one route. But I've explored that down a thousands of paths, and the end has always been so I can be happy. So as you said, not only does it help you get the goal, but it gives you the goal, the ultimate goal now.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
So, what are some of your suggestions on how to find and even eliminate some of these hidden beliefs? How do you go about doing that?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, you can't just question everything. You'd never get out of bed.
Yeah, that's true.
And there are these covers, are these my feet, you know. But here are two really good, strong clues. And I think if we stick with them in life, we'll find most of the beliefs that block us. One is, if you're feeling some way you don't like feeling, you know, anyone might want to grieve the loss of a loved one or recognize wrongdoing. But if you're stuck in chronic fear or guilt or anger is, you know, ruining your relationships, that's just such a golden rule clue that you're believing something that's not true and living by it. So I urge everyone to always question unhappiness. You know, we question everything, but we don't question how I feel. So the first question is, if I'm angry and I don't like being angry, is to ask myself, what am I angry about? And why is anger the way to feel? And I'm just amazed at the answers that people come up with that help them to just break out. Now, it's not easy because you're questioning your own reality, and that's why I wrote my books, that's why we're having this conversation, that's why, you know, you have this show, because it's not easy. It's going against the norm, really. But if you who are listening can just do it for a day, every time you feel something you don't like feeling, get really clear on what is the feeling. And what is it about? What am I sad about? What am I guilty about? And then, why is that the way to feel? And what am I afraid would happen if I were happy anyway?
So are you saying that we should go back and remember where it all started, or what is it that's making us unhappy? A little bit more definition, I think that would be.
Sure. Yeah. No, you don't have to go back to where it came from. Let's see if I can think of a couple, you know, kind of clear examples. Okay, here, I worked with a young man who had fallen on hard times and was staying with his aunt. And he just really loved her, and she loved having him there. And he got back on his feet, and he wanted to leave, and she didn't want him to go. And he felt just tortured by guilt. And I asked him, what do you feel guilty about? And he said, she's been so kind to me, and she wants me to stay, but I want to go, you know, and have my own life. And I said, what are you afraid would happen if you didn't feel guilty? And he had an answer right away. He said, it would mean I don't care. That belief would keep that guilt there forever. And all I had to do was ask, is that true? And he looked kind of bewildered, because when your beliefs change, it's like reality breaking up. It's a little disconcerting. And so then I asked, do you care about your aunt? And his eyes just filled with tears. He said, of course, I love her. She's been so great to me. But I still want to go out on my own. But then he realized he could tell her, you know, I care about you. I will always care about you. I love you. I appreciate you. Let's have dinner every week, you know. He didn't, but his choice before that, when he believed that how guilty he felt measured his caring, then his only choice was to feel guilty.
And that kept him from feeling happy and stopping him from going forward.
Yes, and it stopped him from talking to her. It stopped him from feeling and expressing his love for her. Oh, it's really far-reaching, the emotions. People think, you know, that we react emotionally to actions, but we also act on emotions, and the actions we take when we feel guilty are very different from the actions we take when we realize, you know, I love you so dearly, and I'm going to move to Texas or whatever. I remember my son, when he was 17, one time telling me, I really love you, Mom. Well, he wasn't going to spend the day with me, and I had thought he was. And he said he was going to go visit a new girlfriend. And he said, I really love you, Mom, but quite frankly, I think it's perfectly normal for a 17-year-old boy to be more interested in girls than he is in his mom. And all I could do was crack up and feel loved.
Yeah, you know? Exactly, exactly.
But if he had felt guilty, he wouldn't have told me, and he would have probably resented me for, quote-unquote, making him feel guilty.
Interesting.
Now, the other clue I mentioned, there were two, is if you want something that it seems like most people can have, but you can't, that's a surefire clue that you're believing something that's not true.
Meaning?
Well, for example, where we started, people who believe they don't deserve stuff.
Right.
Like, they may want just a fabulous relationship or $1 million, but if they believe they don't deserve it, they'll believe they can't have it. They'll believe other people can have those things, but not me.
And what is that attributed to?
You know, Jules, we form beliefs every moment of our lives, and I think probably most of them aren't true because the truth is so vast and mysterious and infinite. You know, I think most of what we believe is just a shadow of it. Here's an example of that specific one. I've taught three adults how to read. All of them were over 40. And all of them believed that they couldn't have literacy because they were too stupid. Mm. And not one of them was even a little bit stupid. One of them had been given away when she was 7 years old, no, when she was a baby, to the neighbors, and not put in school till she was 8 years old. Mm. And she didn't know much of anything, and they put her in special ed classes. She grew up her whole life believing she was, in her words, severely retarded. And she was one of the smartest people I've ever met. And breaking through that belief was like, you know, going through a 20-foot wall. She used to shake, you know, with fear, just at the idea of changing from someone who's just mentally disabled to an adult, to a literate adult who's free to read.
So that's very interesting. Now, the thought of why it would be so difficult to think good of yourself when you're used to thinking bad of yourself, it's just mind-blowing to me.
It is. And, you know, some people almost scoff at that in others, and I think it's so important to have compassion for yourself and for other people when any of us realize I've been believing something that was just not true. You know, I've been believing that I don't deserve things. And maybe I do, maybe I don't. All I really need to know is, you know, I want to have a wonderful, happy, abundant life. And I can reach for it and create it any way I want.
And you have to have, like you said, the desire to have something different. And that is actually probably the first step in achieving, or your first step into reaching being happy a lot of the time, shifting your perspective about you.
Yes, you know, just for example, what you just said, to shift from whatever you've been wanting to be happy. You know, to wanting to be deserving and believing that you're not. You know, if you can just shift that to, I don't know what I deserve and what I don't. It's very mysterious to me, but I want to be happy. And I want to have a wonderful life, and I want to share it with others. Oh, I just got tingled just feeling the shift in myself. Just imagining going from I don't deserve anything to I want to be happy. You know, I want a wonderful life.
So what do you recommend? Well, before we go into that, because you had a big section in your book about the importance of acceptance. What do you mean by that?
Well, that fits in really well with what you just brought up about, well, what if you know, you have to start where you are, and if where you are is, you know, you believe you're a bad person or you don't deserve things or it's bad to be unhappy, you have to start there. And so many people think it's a very common belief that acceptance and resignation are the same thing. And they're different like night and day. When you accept the way things are, you just see, all we're doing is, I see clearly as I can, and I feel okay. I'm not demoralized by what I see. And then I can breathe, and I can feel happy, and I can reach for anything I want. So if the truth is, I've been angry more than I wanted to in my life, and I've hurt other people, if I can feel okay, not because of that maybe in spite of that, but if I can look at that and feel okay, I'm in my best position to change and move in any direction I like. But if I'm fighting with what has happened or fighting with the way it is, all my energy goes into just a futile, hopeless battle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so acceptance is so far from resignation, it's like night and day. It's that ground of being in which I can, you know, reach for that $1 million, reach for that movie contract, you know, reach for that perfect relationship, whatever I want.
The emotions, or the lower emotions, the fear, the panic, the anxiety, the anger, does that all stem from fear? Is that the hidden underlying emotion of it all?
I'm not sure. I think it sure is prevalent. I think it's the cause of an awful lot. You may know this better than I. What are the first things that babies feel? What is it? Fear of falling. And then they do something. I don't even know if it's anger or not, but they get kind of ferocious when they want something, you know, and they don't get it. I think those are kind of basic, but then we build on them and we feed them. You know, that's what I mean by hidden beliefs. You know, people that believe, for example, if I'm not angry, people will walk all over me.
Yeah.
That's a very common but hidden belief.
Uh-huh.
I've heard it because in my work I ask these questions. And, for example, if somebody works with my book, they'll find them in specific things in their own life. Questions like I asked somebody who I know is an actor who was really angry about not having any roles. And I said, what are you afraid would happen if you weren't angry? And he said, well, I could just ride my bike around Central Park all day. Now you see, there's a hidden belief in the middle that was not stated, which is, if I weren't angry, I wouldn't do anything.
So they're using anger as a motivator.
Absolutely. And as long as they believe they have to be angry in order to stand up for themselves, in order to motivate themselves, in order to keep people from walking all over them, they'll be angry a lot more than people who don't believe that.
Interesting. So I noticed that there are a lot of people who think that they're overweight when in fact they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And that is showing that their lack of self-esteem within them, that they're okay. Even people today, if they're overweight, science is now finding out that they're really not unhealthy, except for their emotions that tied into being overweight.
Absolutely.
So we really need to be focusing in on, hey, we're okay the way we are. No matter what we look like, no matter how much weight, thin or thick, whatever. Right?
Really, it has so little to do with the spiritual quality of your life, with your ability to be happy and thrive. You know, there are those wonderful examples of people who've lost limbs and go on to do amazing things. Michael Parkinson's, whose show is...
Oh, Michael Fox.
Michael Fox, who, you know, twitches from one end of his body to the other.
Yeah.
Coming back on TV in a major show, that living proof.
Isn't that wonderful? Yes.
Isn't it inspiring? And yet other people, if their manicure isn't right, they don't think they can go out the door. And
yes.
Here he is, you know, all a twitch with Parkinson's, you know, moving us to laughter and tears with his courage and his inspiration. I don't know, which would you rather have? That kind of freedom or a good manicure, you know, and
yeah.
Not exclusive.
That's a good word that you use, freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom. Because really, when you're away from these emotions that limit you, you are free.
Yes. Free to do and be and have anything, you know, that you can attract or move toward. And you could be happy your whole life, you know, as you move toward what you want or attract it to you, whether you get it or not.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I think it's time that we start accepting ourselves no matter what. I happen to have a few extra pounds, more than a few. And you know what? I'm going to love myself no matter what. I'm going to accept myself the way I am, because really, that's the most important thing. I think I can be just as attractive as the next person, even with my excess weight.
Well, that's music to my chubby ears. I have struggled with weight my entire life.
As has most, yes.
I'm an old lady now, and I'm just, you know, really thinking, well, maybe I'm just one of those people who's, you know, a short little fat woman. Maybe that's just what I am. But I think I'm beautiful. I think I'm wonderful.
Exactly.
And I've been, you know, just trying to eat healthfully and... you know, I've been losing and gaining a lot, same 2 pounds for about 6 weeks now. But I'm not going to hold my happiness hostage to my weight or my manicure or my book sales or whether you love me or anything. I want to be free to be happy, and I want everyone else to have that same freedom. Sometimes, I just thought of this, sometimes you can't move quite straight to happiness if you're really in despair. But for those of you who may, you know, have cried yourself to sleep last night or be really hurting or upset, maybe you could let yourself feel a little bit better. You know, maybe you could start with just accepting the best I have come up with today is not feeling so hot, and move from there to, would it be all right, you know, even before you fix everything that you think you want to change, would it be all right to feel okay now? And, you know, sometimes it takes a couple steps before you're in rapture or bliss. But you can move through those stages just like lightning, from acceptance to feeling okay, to peace, to joy, to exuberance. You know, whatever you want.
Right. So that when they're crying themselves to sleep, they probably need to realize, too, that it's just temporary. Everything does pass if they can just keep on going forward. They just need to realize that it's okay to feel the way they are feeling at the moment, right? And then they don't have to be stuck there. And again, it comes back to the choice.
I couldn't agree more. And again, it's that's why I say the first step is acceptance. Because so many people, if they're crying themselves to sleep, add to it feeling ashamed of that, or feeling unworthy, or angry with themselves, or, you know, they add on to it. Whereas if you just cry, it's a feeling, it comes, it goes. They're all beautiful feelings. The only problem is when we get stuck in one because we believe we have to. Like, so many people get stuck being angry with themselves. You know, the phrase, and I beat myself up about it. People say that almost pridefully. Oh, and I beat myself up about it all the time. Like you get a gold medal for, you know, bashing yourself bloody.
That's right.
Again, you have to start with where you are. And if where you are is the best I've come up with is beating myself up, then if you can accept that, we can look, well, maybe there's something better.
Yes.
Like accepting myself and loving myself and caring for myself.
Wow, that is so good. You know, I know, being a law of attraction practitioner, we have the tendency to be our worst enemy, because when we are not feeling our absolute best, we will beat ourselves up, and we need to be the people who are more accepting of ourselves than anybody, because we're living the law of attraction, we're understanding. But sometimes, you know, that little bit of knowledge really allows ourselves to wait a minute, you're not supposed to be feeling like this. This isn't the way. It's so funny, but I think that's probably going along with exactly what we're talking about here, is being accepting. We're humans. We have these emotions. It's okay to feel them, and it's okay to move forward into happiness.
Absolutely. And as you said that, I just felt so attracted to your being. You know, as opposed to if you were saying, well, I have it all together. What's wrong with you? Look, what are you attracting? You know, sometimes we don't know. Most of the time we don't know. But it's so exciting to be doing this work and learning and finding out. And I'm so happy to have the opportunity to look a little at what emotions do we want to feel while we're looking at what we want to attract in life.
And you do agree that if we want to bring more of our goals to us, then we need to kind of somehow reach towards feeling better so that we can attract those other things to us. Because if we don't feel good, we're not going to be attracting the things that we want. We're going to be attracting the things that don't make us feel good.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm a big proponent of happiness.
I can see that with your book.
And
which is great.
Start with happiness, be as happy as you can all the way through, and then be happy when you attract miracles. I think happiness really is the ultimate miracle.
Yeah. It is, and it's often so difficult for us to get to, and I think that's why I love your book so much, because it is showing us that sometimes we're actually blocking our happiness from coming to us. So it's so important. Tell us where you can get your book, Emotional Options.
Amazon USA, UK, Germany, India, Amazon.
Oh my goodness.
Wherever you are, Amazon has it. And my website, mandyevans.com, has lots of free and very, very low cost, inexpensive material to help you break out from any belief that's holding you back, blocking your happiness or your success.
And before we leave, you have your foreword done by Joe Vitale, who has been on our show many times. Tell us, and it was really a great foreword, because he knew about you before he was even so well known in the law of attraction field. Tell us about that foreword. It's a great story.
Oh, it is. It's wonderful. Well, he says in the foreword that he found a little, like, tiny ad in one of the early New Thought magazines, like New Age Journal, or we don't even remember which one it was. And I had put the ad in that I was doing, individual coaching sessions. And he sent me a postcard asking if I had any tapes. And I had a few tapes from talks I had given, but they were just little cassettes. And he just badgered me until I made copies of them. And this was so long ago. I mean, this was, 30, I don't know, can't count that high, years ago. And I made them, and he loved them. So he wanted to do a workshop, but believe it or not, he was so shy then, he didn't put this in the foreword.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And he didn't even know 12 people that he could ask to come to a workshop. So he shared the tapes with another guy who was an oil man in Houston. And together, they put together a workshop and flew me down to Houston, and 12 or so of us spent a couple of wonderful days together. And he's been my dearly beloved friend and inspiration ever since. And both of us were just kind of fumbling through life with an idea of what we might want. And he has just created the most magnificent life and shared it with so many people like you and your listeners. And it's just been a treat to know him. But in the foreword, he says, just follow your desire. You never know what's going to happen when you answer a little ad in a newspaper or a magazine.
That's quite something to have, to be a mentor to Joe Vitale. That's really something, and it's a tribute to you and everything that you've done in your life. So this is wonderful. I can't thank you enough for coming on and spending some time with us.
It has been my total pleasure, especially getting to know you and your work and your wonderful Law of Attraction station.
Well, and I'm sure we're going to meet each other in person soon, and I know that to be a fact, so I'm looking forward to knowing you better, Mandy.
Me too, Jules. Thank you.
Wasn't that fun? What a great reminder for us on accepting our emotions and, by golly, just accepting us the way we are. We are pretty perfect no matter what we think about ourselves. We are the essence of that energy of all that is. So we're pretty special. Don't forget that. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show of Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com and have a great week.